Okay. Today we are on Daf Chaf Aleph. We are like five lines from the bottom, from the top. So basically, we had yesterday, we said that Rabbi Yehuda held that an ohel, unless the ohel is made by an individual with the purpose or the intent of being an ohel, it is not considered an ohel. And therefore, these naturally created ohelos are not, they don't have a din ohel. And he learned it out from Gzeir Shava in the ohel moed with the... From the Mishkan, and the Rabbanan said no. He said, "Oh well." That's how they learned that there is more. Since it says the word "oh" many multiple times, that includes more things. I mean, it's inclusive and includes even man-made without intent, or includes even non-man-made. Doesn't matter. You don't have to have intent for it to do it. So now the Gemara is going to ask on Rabbi Yehuda. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that an ol she'enu asur b'dei adam, an ol is not made, is not man-made, is not considered an ol? And we're going to quote a Mishnah in regarding the Paraduma. So this Mishnah is going to deal with the great concern that they had when they were making the paraduma, that everyone should be no chashash tuma. And the reason why they did this is because in Torah we say a tful yom is kosher to make the paraduma. So and we would do that in order to be hotzim elivam kustukim, but in order they would be mezalzel on the rest of the things that had to be done to make the ashes. Everything else would be done with, you know, pristine purity. That's how they would do that. One of those is the following Mishnah. And then we'll finish the Mishnah, we'll figure out the kasha on Rabbi Yehuda. So, Gemara says, V'sav Rabbi Yehuda kol olel she'enu asub de adam enu olel. Is it really true that Rabbi Yehuda holds that any olel that's not made, man-made, is not considered olel? V'riminu al yashu kasha on what we learned from the following brisa that interprets the Mishnah. Mishnah is in Parah Perigil Mishnah Beis. It says, Chatzeros hayu benuyos b'Yerushalayim al gabei hasela. They would create sort of this community on these raised platforms. Right, we came across this a few times. Right, Chatzeros hayu benuyos al gabei said hasela. So you basically you build these communities on bedrock. Again, the concern is that there's no tumas to home. There's no dead bodies in there. So most probably under bedrock, there's nothing going to be buried. Nevertheless, they would build them with tachteim chalol. They have this empty space underneath there, so it would be a mafsik. Just in case there was something there, it would be mafsik, and you wouldn't have the tumah rise up. The tachteim chalol mipnei kever to home, because we're worried about the kever to home. Fine. And then what they would do, umevi'in nashin ubaros v'yodo sham. And they would bring the pregnant woman, and they would give birth there. You know, they had a birthing center over there. They would give birth over there. So there wouldn't be a chash. So the kids would automatically be tahor over there. I mean, obviously there's tumah when the mother gives birth, but there's no tumah mace. They don't have tumah mace. Not metame mace. They would give birth there. Umigadlos b'neihem sham, and they would raise. They had this little community, and they would raise their boys. They would raise the children there. Lepara, so that when they came time to fill the water from the spring for the paraduma, these boys would be completely tahar. Now when the time came,
the boys can go to camp for summer.
What they could go to camp for the summer? They could go to camp for the summer, right? Just they lived in camp, I guess. I don't know. Very interesting. These are younger boys, I think. I think these are not older boys. My question is that when you can't guard against all tumba, the possibility is that someone dies. What happens if someone dies there? I mean, you're gonna have right. So I guess you can't guard against everything, but as much as you can guard against, you guard against. Okay, so they had a picture of that house, the platform.
It's a young community, family, older people.
Well, someone's raising them. Someone has to raise them.
I know. Things happen.
Oh, things happen. Okay, and then what they did...
In those days, women, they died giving birth. They died from childbirth.
Right. So I'm saying, what they did whatever you can, whatever's in your control to do, they would do. If it's not in your control, then what are you supposed to do? You'll deal with that. You'll have to deal with that. But if it's in your control, you'll make the... You'll try to protect as much as you possibly can.
Couldn't they just go, the whole big guy come, let's say, in the normal community, couldn't they just...
No, but the point is you want to show the chumrah of the paraduma because you were makel by the tful yom. That was the whole point. When we saw that in the beginning of Maseches Yoma, you have to be mafresh and all that stuff. We did only clay, you can use a clay glolim or clay cheretz, all those things in order to show the chumras of the tahara that you're doing for the paraduma because you were makel by tful yom in order to be yotzi milibam shal stukim. Because you were Mako there, we were Mahmir on the other side. I'm assuming so. They had their own community up there. Okay. So maybe, and what do you do? Now it comes time to get. Now it comes time to get the water. So mevi and shvarim, you bring these oxen, right? Viagalbe and blossos, and you put these sort of like doors, these wood doors on top. Vitinokos yoshin agavehen, and these young lads, they sit on top of the blossos, because if there is some sort of when the ox walks, there's some sort of kever underneath. It will be he's under another element. It's gonna stop. It's not gonna have a chal tap. Much more. So the tumah goes up and stops by the board, and he's completely protected. Right, b'tinokos yoshim agaveim, and b'kosos shel evim b'yadeim, and they have these stone halim in their hands. Higiyu l'shiloach, so they get to the ma'ayan, they get to the water. Yardu l'tochamayim liyom. Tanakhama says they go off of the ox and they go into the water and they fill it up. V'alu b'yashulahem, they go back on the, and then they finish, they go back onto the boards. Rabbi Yosi Omer, no, he says b'mkomo hayim mishal shel umimale mipnei chever tohom. So you want to be careful, don't let him come off the cow. He's gonna the ox. He's gonna lower with a rope the cup into the water and then raise it up so he doesn't even come. He doesn't even, according to Rabbi Yossi, doesn't even come off of the oxen that has the board. V'tanya, we learned in a brisa explain this mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says lo hayim mevi'in delasos. They wouldn't bring doors. Ella shvarim. It would only be the oxen. Meaning they wouldn't sit on the boards. They would sit on the oxen directly. They would sit directly onto the ox. And that would be the OL that will be mopsing. Well, that's our kasha then. It's not a natural OL. That's not a man-made OL. It's a natural OL. But didn't Rabbi Yehuda just say that the only time it becomes an OL is if it's man-made? If it's not man-made, then it's not an OL. That's why he held, with all those cases in the Mishnah, we're not considered an OL. So how is he saying that the ox is considered an OL? The ox isn't man-made. The ox is born.
How do you know that the board on top of the ox makes an OL?
The ox makes an OL. So protection.
The board on top becomes below it.
The board on top protects the tumah, protects the boy from the tumah rising.
Beyond the board.
Yeah. Now we're saying the ox itself. We use that the ox itself does it. You have a chol, more than a chol tepach between the ox and the and walk. That's the ohel. But didn't Rabbi Yehuda just say that a natural thing is not considered an ohel? And here you have an ox, which is pretty natural. It's not man made.
So you're saying to walk under the ox.
You shouldn't walk under the ox, and it'll definitely become tummy. But how does the ox even work? How does the ox work? So Betanya rebuked Omer lo yivon glossos el shvarim. V'ha Rashi Gemara says, Gemara asks our question. Shvarim the ol shein asubri adam hu, right? Shvarim oxen are not all that are made by, not man made. V'katani nevertheless, Rav Yehuda says rebuked Omer lo hayim yivon glossos el shvarim. So you see that the I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the spine or something of the ox is the protection. And Rashi says. Eloshvarim, that's the last short line. Shekreshim rechavos, they have this wide body. V'tinokos yosh, or the wide top. V'tinokos yoshin aleihem, and the tinokos sit on top of them. Ukreshon mafsik, and their body is mafsik. She'en tinokos malin alaretz. So the tinok itself does not make an oil over the ground. V'almash bin Rav Yehuda, the shidrasun shel shvarim, that the shidra, that is the spine of the ox, shehi ke'in gag. That's like considered the roof, the chalal shel behemo, and the actual body of the animal, who are ol hamafsik. That is the ol that's mafsik the tumah, the yafagad, the inuasu the other. Okay, so that's the question on Rav Yehuda. So Gemara answers, he asa Ravdimi. Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael. Ravdimi used to come back and forth. He asa Ravdimi, Amar, he says in the name of Rabbi Elazar, mode Rabbi Yehuda kimlo egrov. When Rabbi Yehuda says that a natural ohel is not considered a defined ohel, that's only up to a certain size. But once it gets to the size of an egrof, which I believe is a fistful, which is bigger than a tefach, then that, even if it's natural, that is going to be considered, that's going to be considered an ohel. So the limits to Rabbi Yehuda is not across the board. It's only a small thing is not considered an ohel. But if it's the size of an egrof, that's considered an ohel. Rashi says, kimlo egrof, ohel sharachav, that says why, is kimlo egrof. Shehu yosem mitefach, bigger than a tefach. Modi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda agrees. Sha'afa pisha ein asur bidei adam. Even though it's not made, it's not man-made. Nevertheless, chashuv. It's important enough. Liyos ohel. Demelo egrof matzinu chashuv. Lemoor she'ein asur bidei adam. I'm not sure what that case is over there. Kanam be'olos maseches b'choros. You see, it's a chashuv shir. But Rashi also points out that this is talking about really it's big because we're talking about kamlo egrof b'zeu egrofu shel ben avatiach. V'yesh lo gadol kirosh kol adam. He was talking about the fist of this ben avatiach, which is the size, really the size of a head. It's a pretty big, it's not so huge, but if it's bigger than its size, it's the same size of a head, it is that size, that's the top of the, then that's considered, even if it's not man-made, that's considered an olah. If the Amar of Yehuda, Rashi continues, the Einu Ohel Eichecha, the Ein Asu B'nei Adam, that's the Tefach Kamar. He's only talking about a Tefach. Larger than a Tefach, even if it's not man-made, then that's considered an olah. Okay, so that's why, because the ox is still considered an olah.
Why?
The steer was, Rabbi Yehuda says, that a non-natural, that a natural ohel is not an ohel. And now we're saying that the ox is the ohel. How can it be? Well, the ox is bigger than an egrof, so that's why it's the ohel. Right. If it's bigger than an egrof, then it's considered an ohel, even if it's not man-made. Okay. Tanya Namihachi. We have a brisa that supports this idea that Rabbi Yehuda says if it's bigger than an egrof, it's considered an ohel, even if it's natural. Moda Rabbi Yehuda, right? Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, Shekifin ubenikike sloyim. Shekifin, these seems to be like these hollowed out places inside a mountain, or nikike sloyim, or these hollowed out parts of a stone. Right? That these things, that these things, like, even if they're large enough, the size of a cella, page ayin zayin. Picture yud beis. If they're larger than a cella, those are considered ohel in there as well. So if you have a dead, you know, because I have a dead person and a keli in there, the tumor would transfer across.
Only thing is that it's less than that is not considered
ohel. If it's not man-made, that's what it is.
Most thing I would think.
Okay, so the Gemara says, wait a second. Let me ask you now. The Hare Delis. So why is Rabbi Yehuda say you don't use the door? Well, we know the answer already because he's going to say you could also use the door. But why does Rabbi Yehuda indicate or intimate that you can't use the door? You have to dafka use the shore. Well, the delis also bigger than an egrof. So he says, "V'hai delis the yeshba kame egrofin v'katani Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo hayim min glossos el shvarim." You wouldn't bring the doors; you'd have to use the shvarim. Why not? Glossos are gonna. Okay, yeah, you hold that it's not. It wasn't intended. A door is not intended for an oil. A door is intended to be put up and, you know, to stand up straight. Not taking a door and relying it down. So it's not the intent. So it's not. It shouldn't be an oil. But you said if it's bigger than an egrof, it doesn't make a difference. The door is definitely bigger than an egg rope, so why can't you use the door as the OL?
One's man-made, one's not man-made.
Doesn't matter. We said before also that what it means is, look at Rashi in yesterday's daf. What it means is that when a man-made, you have to have intent for it to be an OL. Rashi says in the bottom of the Adam, "Miskavin la soso oats OL." Second to last, Rashi on Kaf on the base. So miskavin la yos. What? Right. So it's miskavin la soso OL. So the door is not. There's no intent to make a door an OL.
You are using
it
when you.
Okay, but when you created the door, what was the door used for?
It now you
doesn't matter. So you're not making, but it's okay. but that's not an OL. That wasn't created with the intent to become an OL. It was created to be a door, not an OL. So according to the way we originally interpreted Rabbi Yehuda, that shouldn't be an OL. But now that we're reinterpreting Rabbi Yehuda, it says that only applies if it's less than an egrof. Well, this is bigger than an egrof. So then you're seeking to cut. If it's bigger than an egrof, then who cares? It's an OL. So why doesn't he use the door? So he says,
always something you make for all from its inception?
That's what we learned yesterday. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. That's what we learned yesterday. Raj says, B'day Adam, Miskavin la soso Oel. Right? If not, it's not considered an Oel. But if now, what he says, but if it's bigger than an Egrof, it is an Oel. This is bigger than an Egrof. So Gemara says, what? You didn't misunderstand Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Abaye, Shalot lo hutzachu l'habit lasos. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Eina chaname, you can bring the doors. You don't need to bring the doors. You don't need to bring the doors because you're bringing the doors to protect from my shita about the use the ox. It's fine. You don't have to use the doors. It's not a big deal. So Rabbi gives another answer.
He goes, an umbrella. You don't make an umbrella for ohel.
Right.
All these things become ohel because
why don't I get? Because Shabbos and Tumah. So you need. Well, you need in order for it to be an ohel agabi Tumah, it has to, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it has to be man made with intent, unless it's larger than an egg roll.
Right.
Shabbos is a different story. I don't know.
It's a far stretch.
I don't know. He's talking about Oel. I don't know.
Oh, for Tumah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about Shabbos. Maybe yes, maybe no. So Rava says a different answer. Lo hayim avin delos kol ikar. No, it's not that. The way we just interpret Rabbi Yehuda is you can also bring doors. You can bring doors, you can bring the ox. Rava says, no, you don't bring the doors at all. You really don't use the doors. But not because of an Oel issue. Rava Amar lo hayum avin glossus kol ikar mipnei shadaito shatina gasa alav shema yotzi rosho echad meivarav ve yitva bekevet home. What happens is if you have the board, it's sort of like he's in a car seat, so to speak. The kid feels safer. the kid feels safe, he's going to move around and maybe he'll stick his hands out because he's not going to, if he's just on the ox, he's going to be sitting like this all scared and he's not going to move. If he's on the board, I guess for some reason it's tied down or whatever, he feels more comfortable. If he feels more comfortable, the possibility exists, the potential exists for him to stick out his arms and legs because he's enjoying the ride. He's enjoying the ride, he's going to stick out his arms and legs, and then maybe he'll be mahil his arms and legs over a kever, over to us to home, and he'll become tame. Therefore, we don't use the boards to make it more dangerous for the kids so that they wouldn't feel comfortable and they wouldn't stick their arms out. Okay. And Tanya Kavasi the Rava, and we have a braisa that supports Rava. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Yehuda says, Lo Yehuda Yehuda Kol Ikar, why don't you bring the doors at all, right? Mipnei Shadaito Sotina Gasalov, because once you have the boards, the Tinok is in the field, you know, regular there. And Shema Yotzi Rosho Echa Meivarov, the Yitama Ebekever Taho, maybe he'll take out one of his arms, one of his legs, and he'll stick it out over the boards, and he'll be Metama Tumas Taom. Ella, whether, what do you do? Maybe in Shvarna Mitzrim, you bring the big Egyptian oxen, like the ones, I guess, that Paro had in his dream. You bring those big Egyptian cattle, fat, the seven fat cows that came up. Right? You bring the big, it's not eating. Shekiros Hoseim Rechovos, that they're wide-bodied. V'atinoko Shoshun Agalbein, and the children sit on top of him. V'koso Shol Evin B'yadeyen, and they have these earthenware or stone Kalim in their hands, because these stone Kalim again are not Dumkam Tame. He Gil Shiloach. They came to the water area that next to Yerushalayim where they would get the water for the Paraduma. Yardu, according to here, they would go off Umaluim, all of Yerushalayim. They would go off, fill up the Kalim, and then go back up onto the oxen. Okay.
Why is the stone cup
because stone is not a kal tumah.
Oh, even
with
the
kalim. Right. Cheres, stone, kliglolim, it's not a kal tumah. Okay.
His parents let him ride on the ox without a car seat.
Yeah, his parents let him live in this house, let him live in this community without any other social interaction. Also, it's obviously a big schluss. And only live till a certain age. I guess when you get to a certain age and you have the possibility of carry, you probably have to get out of there also. Because if you could be metamet and miscarry at night, you know, then you have to, then the whole defeats the whole purpose.
But you know, they use kids that couldn't reach the age of 10.
They use younger kids, 6 or 7 year old kids. They would use. I'm saying, so when you reached a certain age, you aged out. Right, you aged out, then you had to go to school. That was it. Okay. So now, the Gemara asks on our Mishnah, right, that Rav Dimi said that Rav Yehuda agrees that any ohel that's a melo egrov, it's considered an ohel, even though it is not bidei adam. Now let's go back to our Mishnah, just before we do it. Let's look at our Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? We had someone who's sleeping under the mita. He's sleeping under the bed, okay? And the Tanakhama says, you're not Yotze de Chavaso because you're sleeping under an OL, and therefore it's no good. Or who just says it's fine, right? You're still blowing Mudavar because it's fine. Why do we say it's fine? Because we said it's not considered an OL, because it's, what did you say, the reason? Because it's, what? No, that was... Right, but Rabbi Yehuda said the reason was is because it's considered a it's because it's not considered an OL.
It's all right.
Right, so it's not considered a real OL, and therefore he has no problem with it. Right, that's what Rashi says. The low osi verse of low osi olarai muvatel ol keva. So, but wait a second, it is an OL according to Rabbi Yehuda because a bed is bigger than an egrof. It's an OL to you also. Why you tell me it's not an OL? It is an OL. The Gemara says, "Vahari mita the yeshva kame egrofin." It's got it's look from belief that from the base. It's from the bottom up. How much just the size of an egrof between it? I think that's what it means. Does egrof mean the actual size, or does it mean? I'm not too rash. What's the Gemara says? I don't know. He says, "Yesh kame egrofin min achavolim lekarka." Rashi says, going up and down. I guess it's bigger. There's the space is bigger than an egrof. The Yesh Bakame Grofin, Utnan, Rabbi Huda Omer, Noogim Hayinu, Yomim Hayinu, Shayinu Yeshayim Tachas Hamita Bithne Ezekanim, and the Mishnah says, Velo Muladavar. Rabbi Huda holds that this Oel Arai is not considered an Oel, even though it has many Egrofin. Because had he thought that it was an Oel, then you would not have been able to sleep underneath it. So how can you say, the whole idea is Rabbi Huda says that it's not considered an Oel, but if it's bigger than the size of an Egrofin, it's considered an Oel, and that goes against the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says it's not an Oel. So the Gemara says, no, mita is different. Shani mita, another another condition. Hoel ulegaba asuya. A mita, a bed, is made for the top, not for underneath it. Therefore, the halal, the space between the bottom and the floor, is not considered a halal, a shame oel, even if it has many egrof. Even though I agree that many egrof, that's considered a chalal, that's considered an oel, but if it's made only for the top, then underneath it is not considered an oel. Okay, then what about the oxen? The oxen also, only made, you're not made to, the oxen's not made to be underneath it, the oxen's made for the top. So he says, Shvar Nami Legabar Osuyim. So why over there by the oxen, you said it was a good oel to protect the kids, and here by the beds, it's not a good oel, and it permits you to sleep under those beds. So he says, Ki Asa Ravin, so when Ravin came, right, when Rabbi came, so Amar Rabbi Elazar, he said in the name of Elazar that oxen are different than the beds because oxen really are used for underneath. Shani Shvarim, Hoel Umaginim Alaron Bechamim Pnei Achamim Bishamim Avnei Bishamim. One answer is because you do use the oxen for the upper, for the underneath, because in case it's raining, you use them as sort of an umbrella. I really don't want to be the guy sitting under an ox because you'll lose. You'll just lose. But I guess these Roim were comfortable using the ox, the underbelly of the ox, in order to protect them from the weather. Therefore, it's different than a bed. That's answer number one. Answer number two, Mita Nami. I don't know. So they asked, that's the case. If there's only a purpose, if you have a purpose for underneath, well, the beds also have a purpose underneath. Where do you keep your shoes? I mean, besides keeping them under the couch downstairs so your wife can yell at you, but where do you keep your shoes? People keep their shoes at that time under the bed, right? There's a Gemara that says that, you know, if you want to see whether a person's Amar Tamal Chacham, you look how his you know, he keeps under his bed. Under Tamal Chacham has his shoes under the bed, and under the bed of the Amar, it's all a mess. But they would use under the bed to keep their shoes. Ihachi. Meet the Nami. Hol Magina Al Min Olim Esadolim Shetachtel. So therefore also, it has the usage for underneath, for the underbelly. It has uses under the belly, plus it's larger than an egg roof. It should be considered an oel. You should not be able to sleep underneath it, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So
it's not made.
The ox isn't made for that either.
No,
it's used.
Okay,
I hear you, Kasha. I hear.
But it's not designed to fit your shoes on, it just happens that
you should. Okay, so it's not, I hear you. But the ox is also designed to be used on top. Okay, it just happens to be.
An ox isn't designed. It is
designed. When it's born, what's the intended use of the ox?
Not to hide under,
but they do it anyway. I hear your kasha. The kasha's on both. I mean, that's just not, that's the kasha's, that's not the intended purpose for either of them. Okay. So now the Gemara knocks away Ravin's answer. It says, El Amarava, why are oxen different than the beds? Shani Shvarim, Hoil, the Asuyin, Lhagain al Bnei Me'ayim Shalahan. Because the top of the ox, the spine of the ox is made or created to protect the inside of the ox. So therefore, underneath the spine is still used. The ox is still a protection. I'm not sure I get that. Right. So Rashi says, Al b'nei me'ayin, gag shidish shalhem magin aleha. The roof of their spine protects the ox. So therefore, the spine, that's what I guess Rashi said before, the spine is considered the ol. That spine is the, and there's more than a chal tefach space, and that spine is something that's used to protect what's underneath it. It's protecting itself. That's what Gemara says. The quotes of Pasuk, as it says, or ubasar talbisheni, my skin, the skin and the meat will clothe me. Ubatzamos ubegidin tisochecheni, and with the bones and the sinews, there'll be a lashon of schach. There'll be a schach over me. There'll be a covering. So you see that according to this pasuk, they describe the bones or the spine as a covering. So as a protective covering for the insides. So since it's a protective covering from the insides, so therefore they're considered oh well, and that's why that's the spine of this ox is a valid oil, but the bed is not a valid oil because it's not this pasuk telling me that it protects the shoes underneath it. That's answer number two. We don't reject this answer, apparently. Answer number three is a more you understand it, you just don't necessarily cop it. Answer number three is more fundamental. V'ivais ema, you can say no. Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei, Rabbi Yehuda goes shitaso, right, to Amar, because Rabbi Yehuda says, Sukkah diras keva ba'inan. Rabbi Yehuda holds that we need a sukkah diras keva. Where did we come across that? Way back in the beginning, Rabbi Yehuda said that the 20 am was high. Because he says, one of my answers is us, because he can hold a diras keva. So he holds that a sukkah has to be a diras keva. So a sukkah is a diras keva, v'havle mit a diras arai, is what we say before. And the bed is a diras arai. So you can't have a sukkah ola keva, but also ola arai, v'vato ola keva. Ain't a chanami. It would be an ol, the bed. But it's not an ol agabi, the sukkah. Because the oel arai cannot be mevatel the oel kevel. So if you're lying, sleeping under the bed, that it's as if the bed isn't there because it's only an oel arai. You're still within the sukkah, which is the oel kevel. But when it comes to the ox, it's an oel. Yes, it's an Ohel Arai. But who cares? There's nothing, it's not going against an Ohel Keva. So it maintains its status of an Ohel, and therefore the kids who ride on it are protected from the Tumas Tahom.
Unless you put the ox in the Sukkah.
You put, right.
Wait, oh, just by Tumah, though. Not by, not by Shabbos. Right,
I'm not talking about Shabbos. I don't know about that. Correct.
I would say the same.
So you have to look into that.
Can
I don't know.
A tent? Well, how can you
move out of the house? Well, that's a
bonus.
That's
no,
not.
But
you're allowed to sleep. But it's like you're allowed to sleep under your covers.
No, on Shabbos to make a tent. Isn't that Ohel? So
because
Shabbos maybe almost kept making Shabbos. You're making an Ohel. That may be also the problem.
If
you have an Ohel, if you have an Ohel already made before Shabbos, you're not going to not following Shabbos. If you're not allowed to make one on Shabbos.
So getting back to the whole fundamental thing of Sukkah. I thought Sukkah is a Diras Arai, we only hold.
According to the Rabbi Huda, we saw it does not hold as a Diras Arai. He holds a Sukkah can also be a Diras Keva. We saw that a few places. Remember, we had the list of six Shitas. These six Shitas all agreed that all the Sukkah is Diras Keva. They all disagreed on each other, but the concept of Diras Keva is that they all agreed to.
Right.
So, but we happen to all, again, we know the answer before the development. We hold that Diras Sukkah is Diras Keva. That's why we have all of our halachas.
Diras
Arai. That's why we have all these halachas. Those are machlokas.
So what does he hold about the whole concept of
Sukkah? You have to go into it. But he holds it could be a Diras Keva. That's why you can have wall Sukkahs of 20 amos, and you can have the shvudim and the iron walls and all that stuff. Again, Diras Arai for us also is only the skach, not the walls.
Right. What does he say about skach?
He doesn't say anything right here, so we'll have to find it. The Har Rabbi Shimon, the Amar Sukkah, right? We don't know. So Har Rabbi Yehuda, Har Rabbi Shimon, the Amar Nami Sukkah Diras Keva by Inan, right? Rabbi Shimon also holds that you need. Oh, so Rabbi Shimon, doesn't Rabbi Shimon also one of the Shitas who holds the list of Shitas? He also holds that Sukkah is a Diras Keva, and he was the one who said that I learned from Rabbi Gamliel about Tevi that you can sleep under the beds. Well, wait a second. If he holds that the Sukkah is the Diras Keva, then how can the Diras Arai be part of the Diras Keva, just like Rabbi Yehuda? He should have the same sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. The whole thing is based on Diras Keva. And Rabbi Shimon holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, you need a Diras Keva. So then how does he have this idea of sleeping under the bed? Sleeping under the bed is sleeping under a Diras Arai. He can't be part of the Diras Keva. So the Gemara says, Baha Pligi, yeah, they have a machlokas about that. He holds that a Diras Arai is Mavatal, the Ol Arai is Mavatal, the Ol Keva. Right, Baha Pligi, right? Mar, meaning Rabbi Shimon, Savar, Asi Ol Arai, Mavatal, Ol Keva. Umar, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, says, Savar, Lo Asi Ol Arai, Mavatal, Ol Keva. They both agree that you need a Diras Keva. They both agree that the bed is a Diras Arai. The machlokas is whether that Diras Arai can be Mavatal the same Diras Keva. Rabbi Shimon, yes? Rabbi Yehuda, no. That's why Shimon says you can sleep under the bed, right? You may not sleep under the bed. That's why Tevi went under the bed because he wasn't chayiv. And Rabbi Yehuda says you may sleep under the bed because it's not an all right. The all right is the all right does not maintain any legal significance in the face of the all keva.
Why is it better all right versus a bed? Why is that a bed?
Because the bed is meant to be moved in and out. It's not built. The bed is built made not to be there. You brought the bed into the sukkah.
Yeah, but it didn't change its status from inside the house. It was a.
But it's not built with the intent of being a protective place. It's different. It's not a house. It's the underbelly of a bed.
Right, but let's say you make a sukkah just for 7 days.
Right. So, what about the bed? It's in the same thing. But the bed you can move it. But now, let's say you have a small sukkah.
Yeah.
Like you have a small sukkah, so you have enough room for your bed. And then during the day, you take the bed out, and you bring it, and so now it's moving back and forth. So that's not static. It's not even. It may not be stationary for those 7 days either.
No, I don't think 7 days
old considered a rye. Well, it's a rye the rest of the year, but it's keva the gabe the sukkahs. Right, Rashi says, "V'har Rav Shimon d'Amar Nami sukkahs keva." What does he say? Do you not recall? Right, he quotes the mission that we said that the Gemara that we talked before that they all hold Divas Keva. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon now said he brought the Maisa B'Tevi Abdo to Rabbi Gamliel. He would sleep under the bed, and Rabbi Gamliel said, you know, see how wonderful my Eved Tevi is. He's a Talmud Chacham, and he knows that Avadim up to him in a sukkah. That's why he sleeps under the bed. And from there we learned that sleeping under the bed, you're not Yotzei Yichov when it comes to on sukkah. So Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Misichas of Rabbi Gamliel. From the chatter of Rabbi Gamliel, Lamadnu Shnei Dvarim. We learned three things, two things. Number one, Lamadnu Shavadim Beturim in a sukkah. Number one, we learned that slave servants of Eved Kanani is put them in a sukkah. Otherwise, why could Tavi be sleeping under there? And number two, v'lamadnu she'yoshan tachas hamita, someone who sleeps under the bed, lo yotzei lechavasa. You're not yotzei yurchov if you sleep under the bed, because it's mevatel. I guess it's considered an ohel. And according to us, they're both diras arai. So there's one diras arai, another diras arai. So you're sleeping under another dira, and then you have a problem. So the Gemara says, why do you say, Gemara asking, Lemi Misichasa, it's a strange language. It should say, Lemi Midvaros from Gamliel, from the words. Why from the Sicha, from the chatter, from the conversation? So the Gemara says, Milsa Agav Orcha Kamashlan. It's teaching you something, you know, Agav Orcha, just on the side. He had Amr Vacha Barada, similar to what Vacha Barada said, but Amri La, and some said Amr Vacha Barada, Amr Rav Hamnuna, Amr Rav, Minayim Shafilot Sichas Tamid Chachamim Tzrichali. How do you know that even the conversation or the chatter of the Tamid Chachamim should be learned from? Shinamar, it's a pasuk Tehillim. It says Vahayaka Esha Sol Apal Gemayim Asher Piro Yitim Ito Va'alei Olo Yibol. And its leaves don't wither. So even the leaves, even the, you know, the byproducts, something like that, are considered something that doesn't wither. Gets to comparing the leaves to the Sicha of the conversations of the Tamid Chachamim, and even those maintain some sort of important status, and you should be learned from them, right? Rashi says. Va'alehu is davar kal shabo, the light thing, you know, the less important thing from them, and even that requires limud. You pay attention to just the sicha of the talmidei chachamim. Okay, end of that mishnah. Not a hard gemara to read, but just, you know, interesting in the conceptual standpoint of what's going on. All right, next mishnah. We're going to finish early. The mishnah now talks about a sukkah that basically, remember those beds. Those beds were made that they had the four posts that went up. So what you did, it was a canopy beds. So what you did is you were mesachech using those posts as the walls, so to speak. Those are the supporting of the walls. Those canopies is the wall, right? That's the picture number Yudalit on page Ayin Ches. You see the canopy posts of the bed. Those are used to. I don't know what's in the other book. Those are used to support the schach. So how somech sukaso vikari mita. So you support your sukkah with the walls of the on the posts of the bed. So kshera, that's kosher, that's fine. Rabbi Yehuda argues. Omer, he says no. Im ena yichol lam of neatzma. We'll see what this means. If the schach cannot stand by itself, in other words, out being supported by the sides of the bed, then psula, then it becomes fossil. Okay, so the Gemara says, my time is Rabbi Yehuda.
Why do you care about the bed? You have more legitimate wall, isn't it?
Why do you care? Well, let's where it asks. My time with the Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reasoning? What's the reason behind Rabbi Yehuda? So, plegi ba Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Abba bar Memel. So there's a machlokas in Rabbi Zeir and Rabbi Abba bar Memel. So what his reason is. Chadam Rabbi Neisha Inma Keva. One says, because since you move the bed. So if you move the bed, the bed can be moved. If you move the bed, you're moving the sukkah. So therefore, the sukkah no longer has a status as diras keva. And remember what we say just 3 minutes ago, Rabbi Yehuda holds you need diras keva. It's Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso. Right? Pligi bar Rabbi Zeir Rabbi Mamamal. Chad Rabbi Neisha ain't l'keva. V'chad Amar Rabbi Neisha ma'amida b'davar makabel tuma. Oh, something more fundamental also here. You have the problem of mamid. The problem of mamid is that you can't have your schach be supported by something that's makabel tuma. And what happens over here? Look at Rashi says. Rashi says, this psul of Dover's Mekabel Tumah, we only learned it when it comes to Schach. If you have the concept of Maimid, if the Schach is supported by something as Mekabel Tumah, it's a problem. So what's the Mekabel Tumah over here? What's the Mekabel Tumah over here? Right, because it's a Kli, I guess.
Yeah. The walls of the bed.
Yeah, but they do mami to mami. You put something else. You put the 2x4s on top of it. Then for the schach, you're not supposed to lie the schach directly onto the metal. Right, that's what he said. That's what he means. You have to put something else on top of it. If it's lying directly onto the...
But in this picture, the walls... It's not the bed. The bed is here.
Right.
And what do you have here? This post. There's a wall. The wall is not...
But it's the wall, bed of the wall.
The bed has walls like that?
I guess so.
I don't know, a bed like that.
I don't know, so a bed like any that they discuss.
Usually there's posts, but nothing's putting a wall on the posts. This picture looks like this.
The picture says the same thing here. But it's the canopy of the bed.
The post would be they have the same problem.
Also, the posts are also half thick of the post. What's the difference?
Yeah,
it's a difference. If the posts are big enough to be a shear of the sukkah, then right. It's also a problem.
The post
and the kavutumah. Yeah, kavutumah because it's cleat, because it's part of the bed. The bed's with kavutumah. So my benayu. So what's the chiluk between where you say keva or the kavutumah? My benayu kagon shanot shapudim shel barzel the sikik aleya. Forget that you're using a bed. Now you're using metal poles to support the sukkah, to support the schach. So l'man da'amar l'fish ein l'keva. Do you understand before that the problem is because it's not permanent? Well, harei yesh l'keva. Well, here this is keva because you dug metal poles in. That's not going anywhere, and therefore it should be good. But l'man da'amar b'nei shem amid v'davar kabatumah. Well, if you're worried about the concept of maimid that the schach is being supported, but you said that something that's been makabatumah. Well, harei amid v'davar makabatumah. Now, right now you're having it supported by the metal, which is something that's makabatumah. So Amar Abaye. Abaye says this din of Rabbi Huda. That he invalidates the sukkah that has the schach being supported by the bed, that's Ella, it's only in the case shesamach, right? Aval, sikech agabe hamita kshera. What does that mean? That means, what's the case over there? I think over here is where he makes these poles around it, right? Where he says it's pasos, where you actually use the posts of the bed, but if you, I guess, use the posts of the bed as sort of as to support other posts, is that what it is?
How do you
tie it?
You haven't used the bed at all. It's really separate.
Yeah. So then, what's the chiddush?
Like
right. So I'm not looking at the picture, but what's the chiddush? He says, "Aval siga kalamita." Rashi says, "Velo samach hasichuch bekrayim." You didn't put the sichuch on the bedposts, Ella Alidei Yisedos. You put them on these poles. About kol dofnei hasuka eno elamitos mishlosh tzadim. So you framed out the walls. So the walls are the bedposts, but you framed it out with these poles, and you're supporting the schach on top of these poles. That is fine. My timer. So let's gotta ask. Lamanda Amar Lafisha Ain La Keva, the one who says that the problem is because the bed is not keva, Hariesh Keva. Now the schach is not being supported by the bed, it's being supported by its frame, so that's considered keva. Well, Lamanda Amar Mishamida Bdavsha Makabotuma, well Hare now Aimamida Bdavra Makabotuma, because you make these isotos apparently from wood, not from metal.
And you don't even mention the bed, you just say it's four posts.
Right. Well, no, but you need the wall. You need the wall. That's a machlokus. Whether it depends on how thick those walls are. Yeah, if parts move well, omit. You have the walls that close it up.
Right.
But the problem.
The issue is the four poles. The walls could be anything when he's using the bed.
Right. I got you. Right. But saying that, in other words, the bed exactly. The bed only is no good because you're using it actually to support it, to support the schach. But when it's got as for walls, it's fine. Okay. We'll stop here.
Yeah.